Hiya. Well, we've come to the end of the famous, or shall we say infamous, 5th London ACC. And as I look through you into the backs of your chairs, I'm amazed at the amount of mass you still have left. I still see you have some notebooks. Isolated notebooks floating around in the air here, sitting there alertly, a few inches above the seats of chairs. Oh, you look pretty good. You look pretty good. You made it. The only thing I'm going to talk to you about in this lecture is you've arrived, don't die. You've arrived. You've arrived. End of course. All you got to worry about now is party. There's going to be co-auditing section going on. And I thought I might tell you something about what we had found in this course. Well, you might expect us to say that we found you were a bunch of knuckleheads. You haven't been more than ordinarily stupid. You've been routinely ACC responsive. That's pretty good, by the way. That's pretty good. You haven't been sensationally better than ACCs in general. You haven't been sensationally worse. You came up to your quota of blows. You've done your quota of flubs. You've made your routine 10%. There's always 10% of the teams that are not getting anywhere. 10% of the students who aren't advancing. 10% this and 10% that. I don't know why this is, but it is. But you made your usual last week breakthrough. I don't know what week it was that everybody quit. What was it? What was that week, this week, this ACC? Was there an everybody quit, we all bust up? What week was it? Yeah, that's probable. No, I think it was probably very early for this ACC. I think that's the only unusual thing about this ACC. Usually the whole ACC blows up about week four and then reassembles its bits and pieces for the remaining 2 weeks and just winds up happy as clams. This is quite routine, but that didn't happen on this ACC. I think it must have happened very early in the ACC, and we just considered it environmental randomity. See, we know an awful lot about these things, and this is a special zone of information. You know, about when does it happen and how does it happen and what's going to happen and so forth. But this ACC tackled problems in technology which we haven't dared touch for many years. And therefore, we expected it to run on a different pattern. And it hasn't run on a very different pattern. So in view of the fact that you were about average in your blows, about average in your difficulties, in view of this fact, measured against the fact that you were handling far, far, far tougher material than has ever been handed out to an ACC, and it's in the whole history of ACCs, I'd say you were then pretty much better than most ACCs. Adds up that way, doesn't it? Well, I think you've coped, and I think you've coped very splendidly. It's not easy to cope. You're auditing without altitude. You might be the best auditor in Brighton. You might be the star of the North. But in ACC, you're just the guy who tangles with the instructors. And other students see you getting scolded just right along with them, you know. And the altitude factor just disappears. And the disappearance of the altitude factor gives us more difficulty in handling of n-grams than any other single type of processing. It's the altitude factor which will get you by. You very often gawped when your instructors came by and said to the student, whip, whap, bing, bang, zoop, right into the engram, crash, now look around and see what it is. And you'd been trying to do the same thing for a long while, and you hadn't made the grade. Fellow was resistive, didn't go in, didn't do anything, engrams wouldn't move on the time track. And you said, well, it's just my skill. It's just my skill, I just don't know enough about it. And I'm not using the right magic incantation. Well, the right magic incantation is to be the instructor, of course. The instructor has altitude. In this particular fort, however, you were very, very favored because you had probably the only, well, there may be a few more here and there, but certainly your four instructors in this ACC are probably the only people in the world who have successfully run engrams consistently clear from 1950 on forward. Now, that's an interesting fact. This was their first love, and this was that at which they were the most expert. And if you've been dazzled here and there, well, you haven't had years at it yet. These people have been at it right straight from scratch. They're real good. They're real good. Funny part of it is, their altitude serves them here as instructors, just as your altitude is going to serve you the moment you move out of it. And you're going to say, why did I have so much trouble with that same thing on the course? All I said to her was the somatic strip would now move to the beginning of incident, and she started to scream. I'll say, what's this? What's this? It's just your altitude, that's all. As lousy as you look to your instructors, you look wonderful to the remainder of Scientology. So don't worry about it, huh? It is the prerogative of the instructor to find fault. The number of ARC breaks he lays in are supposed to stick you at points where you're doing it right. Now, a lot of you are going a long way away from here. You won't be in intimate contact with your instructors for some time. You will, however, continue to be in rather intimate contact with me. You generally are. And if you will notice, at this stage of Scientology, HCOs are becoming a ready octopi. These girls that hold down HCOs throughout the world are developing into a brand new breed of Scientologist, which is quite interesting. But an HCO office is a communication office, just what it says. It handles, actually, the ethics, technology, and awards of Scientology, regardless of the area of operation. It's the enfranchising agency. But an HCO office is peculiarly the home of the person who has been through ACCs, because ACCs are a course of the HCO, the only one taught by HCO. You have really not just been through a HASI course. You think you have? You haven't. You probably noticed some subtle difference between this and a HASI course, did you? Well, this is basically an HCO course. This gives you relay points. It gives you relay points wherever you are in the world. And you are expected in your areas and in your activities to give Scientology a harder shove than other auditors around. In the first place, your skill is better, and in the second place, you're probably much braver. So therefore, feel yourselves in communication, will you? When you start feeling a bit odd and lonely and wonder why is it that none of these knuckleheaded HPAs that I'm trying to show something to ever learn anything or something of this sort, it isn't that HPAs are knuckleheaded at all. They start to look to you the way you look to instructors. You get the idea? If you got anything to say, if you think something should be done someplace, why, drop a note into an HCO. The nearest HCO to you, and it comes straight on through to me very, very rapidly. This is my own communication lines, and you were on this communication line, too. You understand? So, you aren't just being forgotten about, and this course just doesn't end on the flat note of never. On the contrary, you have a lot of work to do yet before you finish your course. A course completion merely means that you got through it alive. That's all it means. There's paperwork to do after that. When you follow up this paperwork, you turn it straight into HCOs. Do you understand? Turn it straight in. It goes to HCO Boards of Review. And the HCO Board of Review worldwide is located in London, not in the United States. So much so, actually, that papers from the United States are being passed to London for handling for students in the United States. That's something you probably didn't know. The trouble with the HCO communication lines is they are so simple, they are often misunderstood. Just like some of your instructors' instructions to you have been so simple that they have been terribly misunderstood. Now let's look this over. Let's look this over. What did we learn in this unit? We learned something about running engrams. We found out that there were several grades of auditing. This I found out from you, by the way, that there's the grade of auditing done by the HAS to do an assist. Boy, that stink from your viewpoint. But it's pretty effective where the public looks in. Get the idea? And then there's the good old standby level of repetitive command, processes which do not particularly invade the privacy of the pre-clear. He runs along, he handles things. These things are effective, too. There's even a road to clear straight along that line. The lower end of this, of course, are the CCHs, 1, 2, 3, 4, that handle people down in the zones of unconsciousness on up. And then these repetitive processes that contain the very specific things, SCS, factual havingness, and please don't forget that factual havingness has three levels. It isn't just have. It's most of the people you work it on run much better on vanish at first. And then we have what can you confront just as a generalized command. It actually handles PT problems and things like that. It's pretty good. It's pretty darn wonderful, as a matter of fact, if it's smoothly handled. And then we move up into the zones of creative processing, which is you make a picture for which you can be totally responsible, which is quite an interesting process. And then we have help. I picked this datum up and codified it and finalized it and inspected it right during this unit. And that is help works because it strips the other determinism out of engrams. The other determinism stripped out of the engram. That's why help works. It's quite a powerful process. Now, step six is something you would never use on anybody who had any engrams that hadn't been kicked pretty flat, because it increases the ability of the person to mock up and therefore increases the strength of the engram. And if you have any people around on whom you've run step six, old time step six, you better straight wire it out of them, hadn't you? You better knock it flat, hadn't you? Because you've beefed up their engrams with it. Got it? And this old step six of the original clear procedure, which is mock up something, keep them going away, and on six sides of the body, mock up something, hold it still, and so forth, is probably the single flub on the research line which is now gives us any difficulty at all. It was a flub, because after step six was used for quite a while, I found out something about it and found out that it was the direct proof that a person mocks up his own pictures, regardless of what they are. And finding this out, I went back and checked a number of cases which had stalled, and I found out that they had stalled because step six had been run on the person without any help being run. Now, if you'll notice, that was not advised originally, that step six be run in the absence of help. That was not advised, but this has been done. So if it has been done, then you have two ways of knocking it to pieces. One is to knock the case to flinders with help. General help, help on people, help on this, help on that, any kind of a terminal you could think of, run help in a bracket, the original brackets that came out for help. Help on the rock bracket, using anything a person has run into in engrams. This will desensitize this step six fiasco, because it help should have been flat before you started into step six, you see. But people jumped right across help, gave help a lick and a promise, and ran a lot of step six, and it bogged a lot of cases. And cases started to act very peculiar along about that time. We're simply mocking up their engrams more solidly, and you can now understand what happened to them, can't you? They were automatically and accidentally mocking up their engrams more solidly, you see, because you'd run step six. So therefore, that type of auditing should be, or that particular little phase or period of auditing there, if you want to patch up some of these cases, if you run into them, you want to ask them, well, did you ever have any step six run on you? You know, and the fellow says, yes. All right, that's fine. You could run the sessions on what can you confront in the sessions that step six was run on. Or you could simply scan it out. Or you could straight wire out the session. In other words, you could desensitize this any way you wanted to. And there's dozens of ways you could do it. You can get rid of an incident dozens of different ways. You can pull the teeth of the incident with just help. You just pick the auditor who ran it on the PC, give you an idea of dreaming up a process for this. Pick the auditor that ran this PC on step six and just run help on that auditor as though the auditor were a rock. Just use the rock bracket, you see. Just the standard rock bracket, only use that auditor's name. You'll find out the case will just deflate. These engrams and all their punched upness will just go down because they were beefed up at the period it was run. Don't you see? You get that? And that is probably the best way to handle this situation where you find somebody has been prematurely run on step six. Got it? You'll find this condition around, by the way. It's a lot of people jumped in head first on this step six and beat it to death. And I didn't see any danger in it, particularly. Wasn't alert to this danger until I found auditors were doing it without running any help. And myself had not given any cautionings about it, and had treated step six as just itself, don't you know? And hadn't said you should or shouldn't run anything about it. So we made a bit of a flub there. But I think a flub is a bit excusable. We can get rid of it fairly easily. Find the name of the auditor that ran the step six and run a rock bracket. You know what I mean by a rock bracket. You've got that around. HCO will give you a bulletin on it if you don't have it. Okay? Here's the next item that we ran into here in this particular unit. We found out why some of you had a little difficulty confronting an engram. And why, when one was roaring and running wide open, that you sometimes had a little difficulty staying in there with it. I classify this in a number of ways, but that is the difference between being able to run one and not being able to run one. If you can't stay in there while one is running, if you can't keep pitching, then you had better run repetitive-type clearing. It'll take you a lot more hours to run repetitive-type clearing, but if you're very leery of standing in there while a guy is running at full scream, don't risk it, that's all. Just don't risk it, you know? It's something you'll just have to ask yourself on your own conscience. And eventually, your own case patch up a little bit, the re-stim will not be so great. Now, that's a hell of a thing for me to have to tell you, but there were only two or three present who, at course end, were having any difficulty with this, and I'm sure those people will be in the 6th London, and we'll show them some more elephants, and they'll feel braver about it. By and large, at least 68 of the 72 students present did splendidly with this. And their own views of elephants got to a point of where they were saying, where's the elephant? Where's the next elephant? I eat elephants, you know. That's very splendid, and that is the very great majority by very far on this. In other words, you got nerve. Fine. An auditor needs lots of nerve to run an engram. Now, the only trouble you can get into in running an engram is to pull out while the PC is in full cry. You got that? Got that? I've learned to state that and articulate that. Pull out when the PC is in full cry. You pull the PC right over on top of you. There he is, going through at a mad rate, you back out. He follows you. You become persona incidenta. He tackles you. And it's the only way an auditor can get hurt, by the way. I've seen murderers and maniacs. I've processed murderers and maniacs, by the way. They say, well, I'm going to kill you now. Something of the sort. Their hands reach up for your throat or something like that. You say the somatic strip will go 2 minutes further on in the incident. It does. You got to know your tools on something like this. You have to be pretty cool. Now, another thing we learned that I dreamed up for you here and articulated for you for the first time in this ACC was in sessionness. I found everybody had been talking from the hidden datum in sessionness. And we found out that in session was a PC interested in his own case and able to talk to the auditor, able and willing to talk to the auditor. That was in sessionness. The person was doing this, why he could be considered in session. So a little bit of mystery was pulled out of all of this. You can tell when a man's in session when he isn't. If he's in session, he's interested in his own case, and he can talk to the auditor. If he's not in session, why, he's interested in something else, and he is either not talking to the auditor or he's talking at the auditor too furiously. You see, it's not communication. It's miscommunication of some kind or another. See? So that's not in session, and he's really just out of session. And the remedy of any out-of-sessionness is get him interested in his own case and get him so he can talk quietly to the auditor. That's it. Well, that was a big piece of mystery that we pulled off the Scientology track. It makes it easier to train auditors. There were a lot more of these bits and pieces. You got them, by the way, in auditors' conferences, your instructors' conferences, rather. And we took these things up, and I handed them out data, and they corrected your sessions and so forth. Only in this wise could I give you anything vaguely resembling personalized instruction in this particular unit. I watched your auditing as well as I could and saw that it was progressing satisfactorily. You're becoming better and better. Smoother and smoother. And I think all of you recognize now very clearly that there is a form of auditing which is above tone 40 auditing and above formal auditing. You recognize that? Do you also recognize that a person has to be letter perfect at his formal and his tone 40 auditing before he can engage upon this highest level of auditing? Do you recognize that?
Yeah.
It's pretty smooth to go up, but it's the smoothness of somebody who really knows his tools. I think there's one person in the unit that somehow or other missed on the TRs. I don't know how that happened. This person had a dreadful time with this new type of auditing, and that could be expected. There was just a little difficulty about the middle of the course. So in training somebody, as you train anybody, heaven's sakes, get them real smooth on tone 40 and real smooth on formal, and don't try to give them the idea that all they have to do is relax and be very casual and they can handle engrams and PCs. It wasn't true. Now, the other thing we learned, these are things I'm telling you, by the way, are things that were mentioned to you, perhaps on the floor, but there were some things that you didn't hear about. You were so busy you didn't hear about some of these things, and one of them is of considerable interest to you. And that is, we found out conclusively that while there are a very few, the bulk of auditors who haven't been taught Scientology engram runnings should not attempt them. We learned this. There was quite a revolt in the unit. There usually is a revolt sometime or another during an ACC. It blows off steam. Concerning a bulletin that was put up. A bulletin was put up out here that said that the HGC for $18 would finish off your engram for you and so forth, which is a natural thing for somebody in the promotion registration department to do. Everybody said, what? You mean these HGC auditors? The HGC auditors are going to finish off our engrams. Well, the little hooker that was in this line is, of course, the bulk of the future HGC at the Hazy London, of course, are right in this class. And your engrams will be finished off by your own classmates. That was rather amusing to me that everybody missed this point, you see. So anyway, we have learned better than to permit a slightly trained auditor to tackle engrams. Now, it isn't that he won't go in there and do it. This is data that you don't have yet, which I've accumulated here. It isn't that he won't go in and do it. He will. But, man, it's something like pulling a tooth with a crane. He backs up all sorts of machinery and 16-inch guns and a building crane and band saws and so forth, tries to crowd them all in the fellow's mouth and drops all the stuff off on the floor and goes at it with a sledgehammer and goes out for tea. And you'd say, oh, my God, what's this fellow doing? What's he doing? He's killing this PC. He's not running an engram. And that's right. That's what he's doing. Makes an interestingly spectacular show, but it doesn't get any place. And the poor DOP was practically round the bend on this because he said his boys were doing fine. They were doing fine, but the one week they were permitted to run engrams, after they'd been broken into it gradually, every profile in the HGC, save one, dropped way down. Got it? Next week, the DOP was saying, well, I don't see why you don't let me go on and finish off all these engrams we've got in restimulation. They're getting them. They're getting these engrams. And I don't see why you don't let us go on and finish off all these engrams. Well, I kind of gave up at that point and just issued an arbitrary order. Devil with it. I couldn't see. But maybe they were running engrams, but they were laying in ARC brakes. They were laying in flubs. They were tangling up track. And it was all very, very spectacular. And they were tackling the situation. They were doing it with plumber's tools, building cranes, blackjacks, coshes, everything but the right tools. And although they had engrams running, we were in grave danger of having the PC run out of the engram. Nothing sitting in the auditing room but an engram. No PC left at all. He's been ground away in this process. Now, the spirit of these people was very fine. I was very proud of the way these people came along. And by the way, under Tone 40 auditing and formal auditing, in addition to working with you here, I had to work with the HGC, which a lot of you just walked off and left, you know. There it was, and it's all newly staffed and so forth. And as a matter of fact, for the first week or two, we didn't do too badly, but we didn't do very good. And along about the third week, we started to show some real fine results with just SCS, factual havingness, what can you confront? And nobody ever did get over on the, you make a picture that you could be entirely responsible for. And these people were going right straight on through to clear just as nice as you please. In other words, we're getting good gains. Getting good gains. They're perfectly competent in this, got them all grooved into it and so forth. And then this one week, run engrams and all the profiles fall out the bottom. Right? I don't say they couldn't be taught if we had an inexhaustible number of pre-clears to feed them. But HGCs don't have that many PCs. Unfortunately, these people were just salvaged out of this and carried on. And maybe two or three staff auditors here will eventually get their hands on these cases and find an engram was partially run and so forth. We'll just go in and finish the thing off. Get it? Pick off the ARC brakes, take the cosh out of the embedded spot in the fellow's skull, mend him up one way or the other, and go ahead and run the engram. Get the idea? It's just too crudely done for words. like taking somebody's skull off without an anesthetic, quoting one of your engrams. Anyway, here we have this borderline. We've evidently done something with you that unless the same level of training is used with you as with you on another person, or unless you've got time to put in as much pressure, anxiety, and energy on the training of a student has been put in on you, why try? Just that, why try? Well, if you're at the other end of the world someplace and the rest of the world blows up and you're the only one around there that knows how to run engrams, why conduct some classes and teach people how to run engrams? What the hell with trying to convert everybody's auditing over for a big flub, you got it? Just the dickens with it. Now, if you were successful in running engrams, you were, of course, pretty darned accomplished in tone 40, CCH 1, 2, 3, 4. You know your formal auditing. You know those things. Well, groove the people up the proper channel. Don't try to make them climb a hill that they aren't fitted to climb yet. Got it? So put your time in on teaching them to do that. Do you see that? Because a lot of time was put on you, even in the unit, just stressing your various TRs and fixing you up with them. And you'll find out that they'll win. Now, if you give an auditor too many loses, he quits. And you mustn't teach these people something. It'll make them quit. See? Why give them loses? Now, I'm not forbidding you to teach people to run engrams. Very, very far from it. I will here and there find you have done so, and that's perfectly all right with me. And if you do so, however, please do this. Please take before and after profiles on the PCs so that you get a reality on what I'm telling you here. It looks so good, and it winds up so bad. Got it? Now, you've got an awful lot, and you know an awful lot to teach people. If you had just taken this course to find out what the devil kind of beasts and monsters there were in this PC you're trying to audit, and in the PCs you're always trying to audit, you have benefited just to that degree, haven't you? See, that's quite remarkable. You know more now about anatomy of the mind than any other single group in Dianetics or Scientology has ever learned. Just that, all by itself. That's a gain, isn't it? Well, better than that, the larger number of you are quite competent in handling it and in doing something very good with it and bringing somebody up the other end all bright and shiny. Got the idea? So you can go ahead and do that, but it's a rather special skill. Now, we learned that it was a special skill. This isn't trying to separate the sheep from the goats or make you any better than I am or something like that. It's just totally on the basis of practicality. If you're going to teach somebody to run engrams, you're going to have to teach them over as long and as arduous a training course as this. As long and as arduous as this. And if you did it individually, you haven't got enough stamina to teach 20 students all by yourself, whammity-wham, day after day after day. So you'd better stretch it out to maybe 3-4 months, huh? Really put the people over the jumps. Why? In this particular unit, as many as it had, we still had 4 instructors who were pretty expert along this line. And they found it a very hard hill to climb. Now, you think that they took it out of you, you took it out of them. But the idea, they did fine. They're coming up bright and shining at the end of this. They're very happy about it. They're really very happy with you. But they're saying, wow. Wow, we've also seen the elephant. Now, you probably think there's probably some further mysterious process that gets people into engrams above what you already know. Don't you? You probably think there's some additional process of some kind or another that gets people into engrams that you don't know about. You think that's probably the case, isn't that right? Seems to be a little bit of a missing link one way or the other. Huh? A little bit of a missing link. Why is it that the instructor can get him into the engram and you can't? Well, it might be something else than altitude. How could you bypass altitude? How could you just throw anybody into an engram any old time you wanted to and keep him there, and he got out of the engram, you could turn the engram right back on and run it flat? That'd be a very nice thing to have, wouldn't it? Well, I happen to know such a device, but I was thinking I might possibly save it for the 6th London. Because, after all, your term of education here is over, and so forth. Well, anyway. What's the matter? Well, I don't really know any way to teach you this because you wouldn't grab it anyhow. I mean, you just say, well, that's just another datum. And if I told you, I might re-stimulate you all over again and throw all of you into engrams, you see? I have a hell of a problem here, a very bad problem here. Well, it would, to a large degree, depend on you. If you want to hear this at your own peril, why, say so.
Yes.
It's not a very loud yes, so we can go on to something else. You think I'm being mean? Now, did you notice that the biggest trouble you had was unreality? You get real and get unreal, so forth. Well, how do you handle a factor like this, huh? How do you overcome auditor altitude? Yeah. Do you know why a guy goes out of session? Nah. You throw him out of session. You're the only person around to throw him out of session. You're the guy that throws him out of session. You are. You put attention on you instead of on his bank. Now, when you start to fumble with something, his attention goes on to you instead of his bank. And every time you make a little flub of some kind or another, his attention goes on you and he goes out of session, just violation of sessionness. You got that? Well, there's another factor involved. Shall I tell him, instructors? You think it'd be all right if I told him? It's like this. You're going to do some co-auditing, aren't you? All right. Now, we made you wrestle with these things every way we could. And having watched you wrestle with these things, I managed during this unit to pull out the common denominator of all engrams, which permits them to be run. Now, I could go on fooling with you about this for a very long time. But unless you kind of get a personal cognition on this thing, it's a little bit hard to transmit. It's like this. I never tried to transmit this factor before. But your interest on his engram is one of the factors you've noticed in getting an engram run, right?
Yes.
If you're very interested in his engram, he will run it, right? And if you're not very interested in his engram, he won't run it well, will he? You all know that. All right, but this thing called interest isn't a denominator that we can do too much about. He may not feel your interest in his engram, and you might be interested in it, and he might not feel the interest, and therefore you wouldn't run it, would you? Well, I wish I had that famous theater ticket stub. I was showing this to your instructors last night. Might still have one around here someplace. See if I've got a ticket stub. Should have a ticket stub. Money doesn't follow it. Oh, here's something we can use just as well. Just as well. Something we can use just as well. Yes. Here's something we will call an expired driver's license. This is an expired driver's license. Now, what is here that isn't in the past? The mass, that's right. That's right. Is that correct? The mass. The mass is here and it's not in the past. But is there anything that is in the past that isn't here. Now, this is an expired driver's license. The use of the license, somebody says very brightly. It's a significance, that's right. It's a significance. There's a significance about this expired license that isn't here. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And that's not here anymore, is it?
No.
It's someplace else, isn't it?
Yes.
So if we just say, well, this is an expired license here, we're sort of saying it isn't important, isn't it? All right, now how would we get on a backtrack the thing that wasn't here? Interest is a leader into it, but it isn't it. She got the importance. It's important. It's importance. And importance is the one part of the significance. Its relative value then. Got it? Now, it was valuable then and isn't valuable now. But look, everything that is here is still here except its importance. Its value. You got that? Its importance isn't here anymore. All right, here's a couple of auditors. And they're sitting there looking at each other. And they're talking about something that happened in an island that was overcome and overwhelmed by the Greeks. And its civilization totally wiped out before Troy. And my God, the political principles and everything else which are involved in this particular engram are being bypassed by both of them because what? It's no longer important. Isn't that right? So the auditor sits there and he says, well, that's no longer important, doesn't he? The PC sits there and he says, well, the auditor doesn't think it's important, so it's not important to me either. And he never gets into the engram. Because the one thing the engram has is importance. Right? The importance is the then-ness of the engram, which makes it the now-ness of the engram. And if you want to make a then incident turn into a now incident, you had better add its importance. Correct? But the way they make it a then incident is to say it is unimportant. Right? You'll have to see this in action before you believe it. You say, now, you say, why, it happened almost 2,800 years ago. It happened 3,200 years ago. It's no longer important. So the auditor sits there and runs something which is no longer important. And he never gets the PC into the engram. It's just as easy as that. Simple, huh? But you sometimes considered it quite important that that fellow had an engram, didn't you? It was quite important that he had an engram. And your feeling that it was quite important that he had an engram is the only thing it got across to him, the only thing it turned it on. Now digest that one, will you? And it's quite a game. Once you've figured out all the facets of this, you will know why it is difficult to teach somebody. And it's difficult to teach somebody to run an engram. It's then, isn't it? Therefore, it's no longer important. But that's the mechanism the PC is using. He say, well, it's no longer important now. It's no longer important. No, I don't have anything to do. You see a picture? No. No, don't see a picture. Well, what's happening there? Well, nothing. Nothing. All sort of dim. It's black. It's very unreal. Very unreal. That's the mechanism he uses to turn it off, and that is not isness, which you have in your axioms. And for the purpose of engram running, not isness turns into unimportance. Got it? Not isness equals unimportance. Right? Now, these elusive engrams, you could leave elusive if you didn't want to buck into one. But I don't think there are very many people here, if any. but would chicken out on an engram if they could really turn the thing on. I think you chicken out on him because you get bored with a guy floundering around telling you how unreal it is. And the more he says it's unreal, the more you say it's unimportant. If you're Q&A-ing with the PC, get it? He says, well, it's all unreal, it's all unreal, and it doesn't matter anymore, and I don't see why we're doing it. That's why the auditor says, nah, I don't see why I'm doing it either. Unless he knows this one gimmick. Now, if he knows completely why the PC is saying it's unimportant, it's unreal, yakety, 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 yak. He knows the one thing that'll get the PC into the engram, and you can run it in reverse, and old Scientology 880 gives you a dichotomy, the anatomy of maybe. And the unimportant and the important are both overstressed. And the unimportant is overstressed, and the important is overstressed, which is the only thing that hangs up an engram. That's why it's in restimulation. The maybe that is connected with the engram, I finally taped this after all these years. It's quite a triumph, by the way, research-wise. It's a damn delusive. Is unimportant, important. Which is, not is. Tremendous isness is all you get in PT. All importance means is presence. Now you get survival as a byproduct of it, and you get all mass is. But in an engram, when a rock falls on you and smashes your body, it means all mass not is. Got it? So you have all mass is PT, in the incident, all mass is, but a rock fell on the body, so all mass not is. See? All mass is important, smash. All mass is not important, must not be important. Smash out the importance and make it unreal. Got it? So this importance, unimportance, is the real unreal, is the is, not is, and all of that hangs up into one juicy little package called an engram. Violation of the value of mass is what an engram is. Mass gives you presence, but in an engram it gave you no presence. It took away your beingness and everything else. It gave you no presence at all. So therefore, then, masses are contradicted, and the basic non-computation of any engram is. And this is quite an important statement. This is quite historical, the statement I'm going to make, you know. Because this is the first time I've nailed this and got it out in full view. The non-computation involved in an engram is this. MEST is important. MEST must not be important. MEST basically is and gives you presence. MEST must not be and must not have presence. You get hostile MEST. But MEST is what we use for a presence. Matter, energy, space, and time is what we use for presence. Ah, but right over on the other side of it, in an engram, matter, energy, space, and time gave us no presence at all. It obliterated our presence. Therefore, every engram follows on top of the rock, and the definition of the rock is that moment when an individual lost his own individuality and depended on other things to give him presence. Got it? Therefore, the non-computation factor of an engram is that all mass is and gives us presence, and also energy, space, and time. And there's where the time factor goes to. Faced with a non-computation, non-computational, because we know all mass is and gives us presence, by this moment, mass, energy, space, time, all the rest of it, gives us no presence. It's a thing that takes away presence. Ah, but its basic purpose is to give us presence. But in an engram, it doesn't give us presence. It takes it away. You got it? So that doesn't compute. And a guy, every case is hung up on just this non-computation. Therefore, if you were to ask somebody to scan through an engram and pick out everything in it that was unimportant. Wow. He'd be in it, man. And the more he knocked out unimportance, find something else that's unimportant in that engram. What, can you find anything else that's unimportant? He'll notice, by the way, that he's got the temple. And the temple all of a sudden is getting all of its pillars eroded. And the temple is just falling to pieces. He's just not is this picture. See, it's the terrific force of not is. He's throwing against this picture. And the more you find unimportant things about it, why, the more he not is the whole incident. And the more the not isness runs out. And eventually you get the whole thing there in total reality. Any hidden portion of any incident can be recovered by taking out of it its obsessive unimportance. And the case, then, which tells you the most that it is unreal and unimportant is the worst-off case, which you already noted. Got that? So if you want to run one of these things in the coming weeks, while you're co-auditing here, go ahead and use it. You say, you know that engram we've been having so much trouble with lately? Well, I want you, not even bother to send him back on the track, you know. Find something unimportant about it. Now, find something unimportant about that ship that was in it. Boom! Now, it may take you hours of finding unimportances about that particular period of time. To the person can interiorize into it. Now you got obsessive importance. So you might as well go through and get all the important things out of the engram too. And then get all the unimportant things out of the engram. And then get all the important things out of the engram. And I'll get all the unimportant things out of the engram. You're going to get somatics and physiological things in the worst case you've handled. So that's my little present to you at the end of this course. And you know, by your experience, this was the only thing that was blocking you. And you say, now, this is a hell of a time, Ron, to come up and give me something like that after I was grinding away on this PC for that length of time. Well, if so, you have misinterpreted the purpose of an ACC, which is to help Ron help others. Got it?
Yeah.
You've made some excellent case gains. You have made some excellent auditor presence gains. I've checked you over this week, checked over both units that were auditing. I found your auditing is so far superior to what it was just a few weeks ago that I'm justly proud of you. So thank you very much for being here. Goodbye.